We're thrilled to have Bill McKibben join us this morning on our special coverage of Hurricane Sandy on the Roundtable. Bill is a good friend to this station. He is the author of a dozen books about the environment, beginning with The End of Nature in 1989, which is regarded as the first book for a general audience on climate change. He is a founder of the grassroots climate campaign 350.org, which has coordinated 15,000 rallies in 189 countries since 2009. Time magazine called him the planet's best green journalist, and it's a great pleasure to have him join us this morning. Bill, thank you very much for being here. Alan and I are thrilled to have you with us.
Well, it is very good to be with you guys, albeit on an incredibly sobering day. This is, of course, the kind of thing that climate scientists have been saying for a long time becomes more possible with the world that we're building. I guess I should be inured to it since I wrote the first book about all this a quarter century ago, but it still is always almost unbelievable to watch what happens when you combine the awesome power of nature with the amped up fuel that we provide it by warming the atmosphere.
Hey, Bill, I wanted to ask you a question. Perhaps you can elucidate. What is it? Why have we heard so little from both presidential candidates on this subject?
Well, I think because the fossil fuel industry is the richest and most powerful industry on Earth, and they've purchased one of our political parties and scared the other. It doesn't really surprise me. Almost the only public line about the climate that we heard all summer long was Mitt Romney at the Republican convention mocking Barack Obama for saying he would try to slow the rise of the oceans. I think that mockery sounds a little less funny today when, across the most populated parts of the country, all anybody's worrying about is how fast the oceans are coming up.
Certainly, look, I'm sure you deal with this every single solitary day of your life, given that you're a person who is out there and has been talking about this for so long. But people will say, oh, it's unfair that the storms happen. We've always had freaks of nature throughout our history, and yet this is just another one. So to them, you say?
That yes, it's true. There's always been weather, and there always will be. What's different now is how much of it there is. Jim Hansen at NASA published a really seminal paper this summer showing that even the 1 degree we've already raised the temperature makes extreme bouts of heat and other extremes about 10 times more likely. We've moved the bell curve in remarkable ways. So, we've had year after year now when there have been 18, 19, 20 hurricanes. It was this time, it was 13 months ago, that those of us in Vermont and throughout really your whole listening area were coping with the almost unbelievable effects of Irene, which at the time we thought was probably a once-in-a-lifetime event.
And we've been seeing these once-in-a-lifetime events more and more. So the question becomes, what do we do about it, and what can we do about it, and how much control over it do we have at this point?
So there are two things, Joe, that are key. One is we have to adapt to that which we can't prevent. We've already raised the temperature a degree, and it's going to go up a little more even if we do everything right. And that's not going to go away. That's why every public works department in the Northeast has been putting in, 10-inch culverts where they used to have 7-inch ones, and why Vermont now builds its bridges 20 feet longer in the wake of Irene, and, all the things we can try and do to adapt to that which we can't prevent. But the other half of this, the even more important half, is that we desperately have to prevent that to which we can't adapt. The same scientists who told us this would happen tell us with assurance that unless we get off coal and gas and oil far quicker than any government, including the Obama administration, is planning to, that temperature rise will be not 1 degree, but 4 or 5 degrees before the century is out, at which point, at best, civilization will be a kind of prolonged emergency response We can't let that happen, and it's why we work so hard at 350.org to try and keep the worst from taking place. We launch a huge nationwide roadshow, 20 cities and 20 nights, beginning the night after the election. And the whole message of it is, you know, the fossil fuel industry has just become a rogue industry. They've filled the atmosphere with carbon already, and all they can do is search for more, 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 more. We've got to slow that down. And, you know, I'll get to share a little bit of that message, I hope, when I come to Albany in January, to which I'm much looking forward.
Well, you, my friend, we owe you quite the thanks.
Be part of our fund drive.
It was amazing, and we had you in a theater of 400 seats, and we sold that out in about an hour, and then we got a bigger theater, and we sold that out in another hour. So it's an amazing message that you'll be sharing on January 7th at 7 o'clock at the Egg, and we appreciate you for doing that, and certainly given that you're going all over the globe talking about these very important issues. So optimism, where does it lie in the sense of what should we, you know, if anything, even out of a storm like this, does it wake us up? And the fact that we're having a conversation like this.
Yes, this is the, I suppose, I mean, optimism's the wrong word, but it's more like the kind of, you know, aquavelva slap across the face, you know. We don't really need to have this conversation much today. Today we got to figure out how to keep people out of harm's way and help them recover as quickly as they can. But yeah, I mean, this brings home to people what's going on, and that's the first prerequisite for taking action. Now, taking action won't be easy because the fossil fuel industry, you know, I mean, Exxon made more money last year than any company in the history of money. Chevron just gave the biggest single corporate political contribution since Citizens United, $2.5 million to the GOP super PAC. I mean, you know, it will not be in any way easy. We'll never match these guys for money. But at 350.org and elsewhere, we're trying to use the currencies of movements, passion, spirit, creativity. Sometimes we have to spend our bodies, you know, to try and slow down this juggernaut. Clearly, we're not going to stop global warming. Clearly, today won't be the last tragedy of its kind or scale. But clearly, we've got to do everything we can to keep it from getting any more out of control.
Yeah, but Bill, I think Joe's question is, since, you know, we've got to, we have to, the rest of it, where can we find any kind of solace that anybody gives a damn?
Well, you know, actually, Alan, the good news is that the polling data in the last 2 years is, you know, Americans have woken up. Now only about 12% of Americans don't think that the planet's warming, which is astonishing to get, you know, that kind of agreement about anything among Americans. You know, 50% of us still think Elvis is alive, you know. That's very good news. It's, you know, now the question is, translating that into pressure on the industry that really controls things. We've spent a lot of time appealing to politicians in Washington and elsewhere, but they're kind of the, at a certain level, the kind of customer service agents for the guys with the big money. Mm. And so that's where we'll be aiming. We're trying to spark a divestment movement that looks like the one that took on South Africa, and the first piece of good news is that your neighbors over at Hampshire College, who were the first college to divest from businesses that worked in South Africa, appear also to be the first that aren't going to make new investments in fossil fuel companies. We're going to need a lot of momentum, and you know, and we're also frankly going to need a lot of luck. At the moment, the science just keeps breaking badly. That's, you know, even those of us who've worried about this for a long time were shocked to watch the Arctic sea ice, you know, all but disappear this summer. We were shocked over the last few years to learn that the oceans have become 30% more acid. We weren't shocked to know that this will be the warmest year in American history and that July was the warmest month ever recorded in the U.S., but it's a very powerful sign of just how strong this momentum and these trends are.
You can find out more information about Bill McKibben and his work by going to the website 350.org, 350.org, and a clearinghouse of information about Bill and the efforts that 350.org have, as well as the tour throughout this country. And a reminder again that he'll be with us in a special event for WAMC listeners January 7th at 7 o'clock at the Egg. Bill, your dear friend, I thank you so much for being with us, and it just it means a lot that you would take the time out to do this. Thank you, as always.
Yes, and just keep reminding everybody, this one is incredibly serious. Take every warning, not only at face value, but at twice face value.
Bill McKibben, thank you very much, as always, Bill. Appreciate it. Thank you.